I just want to welcome all our fellow ministers here today. If you would stand, those that are in the ministry. Come on, Janice and Mark, Penny. Valerie's already standing. Hallelujah. Yes, let's give the Lord a praise. We thank God for all of you and the blessing you've been to us over these years. These are four people that we've known from the very beginning. And Mark and Janice moved into this area because of a dream that the Lord gave them and came to the river. And so they moved from New York. Is that correct? And that's how they ended up in Elkhart, Indiana, back in what, 1997, 98? It was a long time ago, I know. Long time ago. Was it 2000? Yeah. Okay. It's so good. And I love Penny, love Valerie, dear friends, many years. Penny and us used to run around together when we were teenagers. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we appreciate that. And Pastor Valerie has been in this area for many years and planted a church. And we ran into Karen Baker yesterday, and it was great to see her. So there were many people who couldn't make it today, but sends congratulations. And so thank you for coming to celebrate today. And we're going to get ready to release Apostle Leon to minister to us this morning. And we are so thankful for Apostle Leon and the years of relationship. I was introduced to CI in 1989, and Pastor Vanessa was with me. She was a teenager. We were out in Arizona, and we got introduced to Christian International out there, and we just knew that was our tribe. And so it was a process of connecting, and Apostle Leon moved to Indiana in what, 93? 1992, and so it was in 1994 that we got to go down and meet him and visit the church, and we just knew we were home. And so we just love and appreciate Apostle Leon. We've been connected for many years, and he is a man of God, and we enjoy and are honored that he takes time out of his busy schedule to come to River of Life every year and bless us on our anniversary weekend. So I'm going to ask you all to stand, and let's rightfully receive the man of God this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you. Appreciate you. Amen. Amen. Give a hand to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Woo! Look at somebody and say it's all about him. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can. And wow, the reminiscing of so many things this morning is just such a, you know, when you look back over the years and you see all that's been accomplished, the battles that we have fought, amen, the victories that we've attained, amen, and all that we have worked through has prepared us for a whole new chapter, a whole new season. Look at somebody say, I'm prepared.
I'm prepared.
Amen. You're prepared, amen, to move forward for the kingdom of God. And I'd also like to just honor Apostle Leonard over the years, his work of service. You know, just little things are so important. They came to one of our IGAP conferences in Florida here some years ago. And Leonard just happened to notice when he went in the men's room that the, you know, all the wall urinals and so on and so forth were leaking. You know, he said, well, that's easy to fix. Amen. He just come home and made a wrench. Amen. And takes a wrench back, you know, that can just adjust the toilets and so on and stop the water leaks. Now, who thinks of stuff like that? I mean, this is, you know, and still today, you know, he invented those drip pans for all of our water containers or lemonades and iced tea and all these things that we fellowship with. And throughout the region, you know, most all of our ministers have purchased some of those because, well, who would think of such a thing? And but that's the type of man that he is. Amen. He's thinking of things. He's looking at things. He's trying to see how can things be done better. What can we do different? Amen. And you know, just the repairing of carpets in here after removing all these benches. If you look down below your chair, you'll see a little empty spot there. But if you look up here, you'll see where spots have been replaced. And he's already made a jig, a template, and everything. He's ready to go. Anybody that would like to learn that and offer your time, amen, all those little holes could be patched. Glory to God. He's made it, you know, he has simplified it, amen. So, you know, those kind of things can be repaired. But above all of that, just recently, Apostle Linder, I think it's been about 2 months ago, I was sitting down in my office and I was just looking through manuals and teaching things and things that I pick up from so many churches and so many pastors. And I happened to lay my hands on one that came from the River of Life by Apostle Leonard Cook on the book of Revelation. And I happened to pick that up and begin to read it and couldn't lay it down until I finished reading his teaching. And I might encourage you, amen, that it's a powerful word and teaching for today. Amen. And so he's a man of the word as well as a lover of people, a giving heart, a big heart. And, you know, I remember when I came into CI, I was 35 years old. In 1979, and had been right at the peak of in the marketplace and business. And the Lord says, now we're going to put an end to that chapter. We're going to start a new chapter. Little did I know all the sacrifices that were going to have to be made in order to do that. And as I look at the ministry here and over the last 20 years and all the 25 years and all the development and the processes that you have been through, we're not younger in the natural, but we are younger in the spirit. Amen. And we're more able today. It was Caleb that said at 85, amen, that he was more able for war then than he was in the beginning. Amen. Look at somebody and say, we are able. We are able. Now, we're more able for war today, you know, than we were in the beginning. And so we have a lot of scars. We have a lot of chinks in our armor. We have a lot of, you know, we have a, you know, a lot of wear and tear in different areas. Amen. But it has all prepared us for such a time as this. Amen. And I just commend Apostle Leonard Cook for all of your achievements, all that you've done, all that you've accomplished, and especially all that you demonstrate. He demonstrates the love of the Father. Amen. And as we went to the project yesterday, I was just so amazed, you know, at the outreach and some things that are being developed there, having been in Modesto, California, and Sacramento, and San Francisco, and all of those areas to see what is happening with the homeless people and nothing being provided for them, just people on the streets. And Modesto, California tried to put up hundreds of little tents for people to move into. And when I saw these houses, these little houses that they're building for homeless people to help transition into life, I was deeply moved in my spirit. Amen. And above seeing the houses, I was moved by seeing Apostle Leonard Cook just running back and forth with just an excitement. Amen. What's one more little thing that I can do? You know? And somebody's nail gun had jammed. Well, that, I can fix that. Glory to God. He pulls out his pliers. I've got the tool right here. He fixes it on the spot. Glory to God. Who does stuff like that? Men like Apostle Leonard Cook. Amen. That is thinking about other people and other situations. Amen. I also want to commend the River of Life for your expansion and watching over the years to see how we are growing. Now, we have grown in numbers and then we've decreased in numbers. And we've expanded in technology and then we've grown in other areas. We've drawn back in areas, things that we've done 25 years ago, 20 years ago. We're not doing those exactly same things today. And I just love the book of Haggai, chapter 2, when he says, turn around and look, and what do you see? Do you see where you are at as a church, as a people, as a vision? Do you see where you're at as lesser than you were 25 years ago? He said, I tell you the truth that, you know, the glory of this season, of this latter house, will be greater and more superior than the former. Amen. Look at somebody say it's greater. It's greater. You say, oh yeah, but this person is not here and this situation is not, and we're not doing that. But look again. I encourage you, look again. I've been here for 2 days now, and I'm hearing, for the full time that I'm with Dr. Janet Leonard, I'm hearing about the new things that we're doing, the new vision that we want to implement, the things that we want to put in place. Amen? And like every other church just about throughout the world right now, is that we're needing people to step up to the plate. Amen? You know, it's not just the church that's pleading for people to step up to the plate. It's the marketplace as well. Come on, never in my history have I ever seen, you know, help wanted signs, you know, now hiring signs just out on sidewalks of major corporations and businesses. And it's a time, amen, of an open window for the church to raise the standard higher, amen, begin to seize the moment, seize the opportunity. So I encourage you, amen, re-familiarize yourself, re-look, amen, at the vision here at the river, amen, and see how we're doing things in a new way, and we have vision for ministering to the future and not just living out of the past, amen. So give the Lord a praise offering, can we? God is so, so, so good. 25 years. Woohoo. Amen. I was telling Dr. Janet, I don't know where I got that from. Woohoo. Winnie the Pooh or something. I don't know where it came from. It just, you know, but it won't be long. Bishop will say, where'd you get that from? I said, I have no idea. It just came in, just preaching one day, and whoo, there it is. Amen. And what do they say? You can learn a habit in 5 minutes, and it takes you 40 days to break it. All right. Well, I just haven't had the 40 days yet, so. Amen. But celebrating this 25th anniversary here at the river, and just the blessing of God that I'm seeing upon the church. But I also know that it's a hard trial, a hard mile. Everybody has to run hard, work hard, amen, and really press the vision. In Christianity, 25 symbolizes grace and even multiplied grace. Say grace and multiplied grace. I believe that we've had grace for 25 years, but now it's going to be multiplied grace. Amen. And that God is going to give us increase. And I've done some teaching in the past on church growth and how you measure church growth and how you can implement church growth and all of these things. But an apostolic church is not determined about how many people are in the pews or in the chairs. It is more determined about how much impact are we making outside of the four walls. Amen. And if we had time for videos that could just show all the impact that is being made on the outside, it would probably take us all day. Amen. But, and that's where multiplied grace comes in. All right? And I just want to decree over each one of you, over your households, your business, over your families, over your ministries. This is a time of multiplied grace, amen, where God will begin to multiply back upon your life. Amen. Look at somebody and say, may grace be multiplied upon you. Amen. May God's grace and God's favor be multiplied upon each one of you in this season of our life. Now, I'm giving you a word that prophetically, I'm not going to try to excite you as much as I am trying to impart to you this morning some things that I feel that the Lord is saying. And I believe that God is saying, as I reviewed my word this morning, that more will be done in you at the river. Say, at the river. I almost wanted to change that song this morning when it said, come to the water. I said, come to the river where the waters are. Hallelujah. And drink of the river. Amen. But more will be done in you at the river, and more will be seen through you, the ecclesia, the saints of God at the river. Amen. Look at somebody and say, things are happening here. Amen. Things are happening here, and God wants you to get more involved in the things that are happening. Why? Because He has given a vision here, He's given a purpose here, and He's given an open door here for us, the church, to begin to expand, begin to grow, to begin to make kingdom impact in our spheres of influence. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you have Bibles, and if you don't, it'd be good to get one. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you have telephones and iPads or whatever source you have there. Amen. But I'm going to go to Acts chapter 6. And I just want to reflect upon these scriptures for just a few moments. And so let me just read these to you. And I'll begin reading in verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of all the saints at the river and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the work of God and serve tables." Now, this word tables here is not like a typical table. It is the opportunity or the vast opportunity to be able to serve the kingdom of God. And he said, "Therefore, brethren," and when he uses the term brethren here, it is not referencing gender. It is just referencing people. "Therefore, saints of God, seek out from among you seven men or women of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Look at somebody and say, "You qualify." Amen. And if, don't allow the devil to disqualify you, you know, of a call and purpose of God upon your life. He said, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I believe we're in a new apostolic season, again, coming back. There's nothing new under the sun, but coming back to the Word of God. Amen. Where God says, "I'm calling my apostles, my prophets, my pastors, my teachers, my evangelists. I'm calling them," amen, "to another place of prayer and relationship with the Father, because there is new things that I want to impart," amen, "that is going to make the kingdom impact, that is going to cause the church to escalate to that next level in that next place of fulfillment." Verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude at the river, and they chose out men like," hallelujah, amen. Well, we listed some names here back in this time. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Philip, Pinocchio, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they sent before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God began to spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in right here in Elkhart, Indiana, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith or to the word of God. Look at somebody and say, increase. I believe that this is a typical or a type of the day of the saints when God says, "I'm now raising up my church. Come on now. I'm anointing you. I'm calling you out." Come on, people full of faith, full of wisdom, good report in your communities. Amen. Look at somebody and say, be careful about your witness in the community. Amen. Of good report in the community, because this is a time, I believe, that we're having an open door of opportunity for revelation, for demonstration, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, not to just be experienced at the altar and in the walls of the church, amen, but demonstrated in the streets and in your spheres of influence. Essentially, I could say this is a time of revival. Everybody say revival. Amen. When God begins to revive the land again, as Dr. Janet was saying, we're coming out of that pandemic, coming out of that COVID, even though we see, some remnant of it surrounding us. Amen. Yet we are coming out of it with a high hand. Amen. This is the time of victory. Don't look at the losses. Look at the successes. Come on now. Look at the breakthrough. Look at the positive. Quit looking at the negative. Get your eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. glory. Why? Because he has not changed his mind. Pandemic is not going to change his mind. Government's not going to change his mind. Times and seasons is not going to change his mind. God has divine decrees that he is going to fulfill, amen, regardless of the things that are happening in the world. Amen. You must keep your eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of glory. You must keep in faith. You must keep the joy of the Lord. Amen. You must allow a vision, a dream, amen, to be activated on the inside of you in this season and time of life. So the apostles were identifying here in Acts chapter 6, amen, that a new season is here, a new time is here. Come on, there is new fresh downloads of heaven and things that God is now releasing, amen, that we have to step out of where we have been and step into the newness of the kingdom and the newness of the glory of God. We must hear God. I challenge you, begin to hear the voice of the Father. Begin to cry out to God. And church, get yourself ready. God has more fulfillment, more reward, more honor, more joy for you in this chapter of your life than any time of your life. You know, I felt I heard the word of the Lord 20 years ago, you know, that the work of the enemy would try to get the church so busy and so self-centered and so self-focused upon your own situation that you wouldn't have time to think and dream about the kingdom of God. Come on, the devil tries to set you up to rob, to steal, to kill, amen, and to try to bring disappointment, to try to bring hopelessness, amen. But God hasn't changed his mind. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of glory, amen. Every time we shout unto him, amen, the heavens begin to shake. Things begin to happen. Why? Because we are breaking out of an old mindset and breaking into the kingdom for such a time as this. Look at somebody say, it's our time. I'm going to turn in my Bible to Matthew chapter 16, if you'd like to turn there with me. And I'd just like to land there for just a few moments. Now, you notice as I read the scripture, I kind of put Elkhart, I kind of put the river, and I kind of put things like that into the scripture. Why? Because the Bible is relevant to now, it's relevant to who we are. Amen. And it is written for our example, it's written for us today. Say, it's written for us. Amen. So we have to read ourselves into the scripture and don't allow the scripture to be mystical, mythical, out in the blue somewhere. His word is alive and his word is real. But Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Elkhart, Indiana, he asked all the saints at the river, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I believe that God is introducing this question to the church today because he wants you to have more knowledge of who he is, more understanding of who he is, and a deeper relationship and a deeper fellowship with the Father. Everybody say deeper. We were singing that in our worship this morning. Verse 14. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In verse 15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? I believe that at the beginning of this year, God began to draw focus a little closer on Apostle Leon. He says, it doesn't matter who Bishop says that I am, it doesn't matter who somebody else says that I am, but who do you say that I am? And God began to speak to me about another level of intimacy, another level of relationship with the Father. And so Jesus is bringing it down and he is saying, I know who others say that I am and I know who you say that others say that I am, but who do you say that I am? You know, sometime as the church, the body of Christ, we can make ourselves too general. I'm just a member in the congregation. You know, I attend, I do, I pay tithes, and we just allow ourselves to be more of an audience mentality versus an army mentality. Amen. Come on. Look at somebody and say, you're not just a number. You are lively stones in the body of Christ. Jesus gave his life on Calvary just for you. Those that are online listening to us, God gave his life just for you. Come on now. You are significant. You are important. You are relevant to the Father God. So he's asking them, who do you say that I am? And it's very interesting in verse 16. Because we're going to have Peter begin to speak up. Peter was so interesting in the Bible, and is still interesting. But in the scriptures, Peter is so interesting because he seemed to be the one, Dr. Janet, that was in the most trouble of all the other apostles. And if it wasn't his trouble, he is making trouble for somebody else. He is the one that is the most corrected by Jesus, even to the point of saying, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Ooh, wow. How many of you would like that? Peter could stick his foot in his mouth more than all the other apostles. We call it hoof and mouth. Peter is the one that you would not have deemed at that very moment to be the one that is going to speak out in this scripture. But in verse 16, Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whoa. A man that was probably, you know, argumentative with all the other 11. Out of the 12, he is the one that speaks up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I love this next verse, verse 17. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has given you this revelation. Now you have to ask yourself a question. If Peter was the one in the most trouble, how did he get this revelation from God? If he is the one that has been the most rebuked, how did he hear God? How did he get this revelation from God? See, it's evident in the scripture that Peter had a place in the heart of God. Say he had a place in the heart of God. It's evident that Peter had a place where he cried out to God and where he was humbled and he was broken before God. Because Jesus is speaking to Peter and he says, Peter, flesh and blood has not given you this revelation, but my Father in heaven has given you this revelation. You can only receive revelation of the Father if you spend time with the Father. Say, spending time. Peter had spent time with the Father, and at a time when Jesus asked a question, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. No question and no delay. I believe I've shared this testimony before, but I'll share it again. It's been about 2 years ago. I was in my prayer time there in the thriving metropolis of Versailles, Indiana. Hallelujah. That's a prophetic name for that city. And it is growing, by the way. I'm getting ready to put in a second traffic light. In my prayer times in the morning, I normally walk in the sanctuary and I'll walk between the pews in our building, which, hallelujah, you stirred my faith. I want to get rid of those pews so bad. Now you've given me an idea. Just tear them out. Glory to God. Let's believe God. You know, let's be like David and Ziklag. God will bless us as we get on our journey. But I walk between their pews and I pray for members of the church and I pray for those that should be members and those that would like to be members and those that have left the church. Just because people leave never does not mean it ever leaves the heart of the pastor. Ever. And I'm praying and I discover that if I walk a certain pace through our sanctuary between every pew in the building, and if I do that twice, I can pray in the Holy Spirit for almost an hour. And so I pray in the Holy Spirit a lot. But I heard the Lord speak to me in that moment of prayer while I was walking. And I heard the voice of the Father speak to me, and he said, Apostle Leon, I want you to pray more. And I thought, God, I already pray a lot. And because when the Father asks me a question, I think about it, and I try to dialogue, and I try to answer what I'm sensing or what I'm feeling. I might encourage you to, you know, begin to interact with the Holy Spirit, begin to interact with the Father when He begins to speak to you. And so I am thinking about my timeline and how much time that I have, which is not all that much. And He says, I want you to pray more. And I have discovered that when God begins to ask you a question, it's like almost like a mindset, and you're not really going to change His mind. And so I just agreed, and I said, what do you have in mind? And He said, well, I'm thinking that you should be at prayer at 6 o'clock rather than 7. And I was like, okay. Well, God, I got to get up at 5:30 to be in prayer by 6 if you want me to be praying at 6. And so the next morning I got up at 5:30, got into my prayer closet, into my office in our home at the far end of our home. My wife is asleep at the other end of our home. I closed my office door and I began to cry out to God and begin to call heaven to earth and praying in the Spirit, and just like all of you do when you get crying out to God. And it was like God tapped me on the shoulder and He said, not here. I said, God, if not here, where? He says, I want you to go to the church. I said, God, Jack Frost is outside. It's snowing outside. It's in the winter. And God, whoo. Hallelujah. I just put on my boots and my coat, started my truck, pulled out of the garage, went to the church. Begin to pray again at the church. Begin to pull heaven down. Shandala makisai. Amen. And begin to bombard the heavens. It was like God tapped me on the shoulder again and He said, not that way. I said, God, you want me to get up early? You want me to not pray here? You don't want me to pray that way? What do you want? And this shocked me, His answer to me. He said, I want to have intimacy with you. Come on. I discovered after 45 years of ministry at that time, I discovered, you know, I know how to bombard heaven. I know how to prophesy by faith. I know how to preach. I know how to do what God's saying to do. But God, to have intimacy with you, I'm not sure, God, how to do this. And God just answered me. He said, you can start by being quiet. Whoa. What a revelation. You might say this is kind of like a wood shop experience. You can start by being quiet. I discovered that being quiet is not all that easy. I mean, every thought in the world, every situation you dealt with and everybody you know will begin to flood through your mind when you're trying to be quiet before God. Anybody notice that? So I found myself going on a new journey, amen, learning to be intimate with the Father. I ended up calling at tea time with the Father. Come on. I still have my warfare prayer times. I still have all of these things. But I have a time that I'm setting aside where it's Apostle Leon and just the Father. Come on now. And I'm just being quiet and listen what the Father has to say and what is he speaking to me. See, I believe that Peter found a place of intimacy with the Father because it was only out of an intimate relationship that he could decree on this spot, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All of you need to have that instant moment, come on now, where you have that relationship with God, where you can say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, I can call fire from heaven. Elijah can call fire from heaven. Amen. You can call on heaven, and heaven hears you. And God is a responder to His church, His bride, His people. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that this is a new season. It's a new chapter here at the river. Come on now. And it's going to be times of intimacy. It's going to be times of war. It's going to be times of battle. It's going to be times of victory. It's going to be times of breakthrough. It's going to be times of overcoming. It's going to be times of impact, times of transformation. Come on, church, we're not just talking about it. It's time to see it. It's time to do it. Why? Because you have an intimate relationship with the Father. And like Peter of old, you can say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at somebody and say, He is so real. Verse 18. He said, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Say that with me, would you? I will build my church. I believe that's where we are at right now at the river. We're in a time of rebuilding. We've gone through times of demolition. Times where you have to tear out some old structure. Time when you have to say, this part of the race is done. That part of the battle is done. Come on now. And we have to remove some old scaffolding. And we have to get ourselves prepared, amen, to begin to build according to the blueprint and the pattern that God is giving us for today. Say for today. In Isaiah 43:18-19, he said, behold, whenever the Bible says, behold, that means, listen to me, I have something to say. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody say new. I will do a new thing, and now, say now, it shall break through. Say breakthrough. Behold, now I'll do a new thing, and now it shall break through. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this is a time of the now. It is a time of a breakthrough. It's a time of a new thing. Come on now, that God is doing here at the river. And He says, I want you to get familiar with it. I want you to understand it. I want you to get on fire about it. Why? Because I'm going to use you, the ecclesia. I'm going to use you, the church. I'm going to use you, the lively members, to build my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. See, I think possibly in the past history of the church has been trained with an audience mentality to hear the pastor, to hear the preacher, and to receive the words of the preacher and leave the work of the ministry to the preacher, and then we go about our business. But if I'm reading Acts chapter 6 right, it's not about the preacher doing all the work of the ministry. It's about the church being activated and the church doing the work of the ministry. Wow. Look at somebody and say, it's a new day. So what he was not saying to Peter, he was not saying, Peter, you're such a great man. And you've just come up with such great stuff. Peter, upon this name, I'm going to build my church. No, that is not what he was saying. He was saying, Peter, upon this revelation, upon this intimacy that you have with me, upon this encounter that you have with me, I will build my church. That means every time that you hear the voice of the Father, every time you get a revelation out of the Bible, every time you get a rhema word out of this Logos word and it becomes life in your spirit, every time that you hear the voice of the Father, He said, I'm building you. Look at somebody say, we're being built. God is building us as the church. He is building us as lively stones. He is raising us up today, amen, for a new assignment and a new challenge. And we cannot look at tomorrow the way that we looked at yesterday. Yesterday is finished. It is past. It is glorious. As we looked at all the pictures, thank you, God, for all that you brought us through. Thank you, God, for our relationships and fellowships. Thank you, God, that you've given us joy in the past. But God, that day is over, and now a new challenge is in front of us, and now we're starting not only the grace of God, but multiplied grace that is going to be upon you, multiplied grace that is upon the church, multiplied grace, amen, that we will have the impact that God has challenged us to have. As I drove around in our city yesterday and could just see some of the things that Apostle Leonard was doing, I was almost jealous. I'm dressed to go to lunch. Hallelujah. He's got on his work belt. Come on. Things are happening in the city because the river has answered a call of God upon us. That's why we're blessed here. That's why we have those that are partnering with us. Come on now, to take love and action to another level and to take our vision to another level and to cause our outreach to go deeper than what we have gone before. And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, it shall not overtake it. It shall not overpower it. It shall not intercept it. Come on now. Listen, the devil cannot stop you once you are determined for the will and the purpose of God. Amen. You have to roll up your sleeves and you have to plow into the battle. Come on now. I just love the way, amen, that David brought down Goliath. I don't want to preach on David and Goliath, but I love the way Joshua engaged with God and he waged war at Gibeah. Come on now, it didn't matter how great of a battle that God fought. Joshua said, I'm not through yet. I've got things to do. I can see Leonard standing and saying, I've got things to do. I'm not done yet. I can see Dr. Janet saying, I'm not through yet. God, that's good. Thank you for the miracle. But God, I've not fulfilled the vision that you've given me yet. Come on now. I'm not going to be detained by what I see. Come on now. My eyes are fixed on the vision. Sister Vicki, get your eyes set on the vision. Be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the word and the work of the kingdom of God. I'll be 78 next month. Hallelujah. I'm so determined that I'm not going to allow age, come on, to be a hindrance of what our potential is. How many of you want that Caleb anointing? Come on. You know, I really think about that scripture. The Bible doesn't give us all the clarity on Caleb at that very moment in time. But listen, he was 85. At a time when people were dying at 70 and they had a promise of 70. But here's Caleb. He might have had a little flesh hanging. He might have had a little alligator. Anybody see that on your skin recently? I saw that and it scared me. I wonder, I must need to go to the doctor. I got up one morning and I felt this spot on the back of my neck. I thought, oh my God, I'm getting a growth. Me and my ignorance, I get a doctor appointment. The doctor checks me out, he looks at it. He comes back with his observation. He says, so here's the deal. When you get to be a certain age, and I'm like, yeah? He said, you can get a little fatty thing back there on your neck. And I'm like, really? I was so glad it was a fatty thing. Anybody notices changes in your body just a little bit? 85 years old, I'm sure Caleb had some changes in his body. But listen, he was able to look over all of the changes in his body and he said, look at me, I'm a warrior. I'm able for war today and more battle today than I was when I was 40 years old. How many remember when you were younger? All right. Hallelujah. Say it's a new day. Come on, we have to quit looking about just the place that we're at or just the things that we're going through or just our physical condition. We have got to fix our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And you have to get a kingdom mindset. Come on now, God's not through with me yet. I'm not just doing time. I'm not just spending time. Come on now, I'm investing in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Look at somebody and say, come alive. Woo. I look at Brother Mark sitting out here in the congregation and was at our school of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell a story on you? Brother Mark, is that all right? This is going public, you know. We got a release you can sign at the back. It was on a Friday night. He was on a prophetic team with me. At the time of training. And So we're going to pray for an individual, and Brother Mark is supposed to be holding the tape recorder, and he's supposed to be helping me as a prophetic team to pray over this individual. And as I began to pray over this individual, it was like he was kind of doing some stuff like this, and I was kind of watching out of the corner of my eye. And next thing I know, he's leaning, and I looked out of the corner of my eye, and he's leaning farther, and next thing I know, he's falling. And I thought, oh my God, my partner is falling. Hallelujah. What is happening to him? And so I reached down to grab him, and what's going on? And he's getting lost in the Spirit. I said, brother, it's not a time to get lost in the Spirit. We gotta prophesy. It's not a time for soaking. This is the time for giving. I'll never forget that. Some of those life experiences, wow. So when I say to you, you are Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Look at somebody say, we are being built as the body of Christ. Come on, it's time to get past our aches and our pains and all of the things that have worked against us and begin to see what is working for you. Why? Because God has more for you. And this is a new season of kingdom release and kingdom power that God is releasing upon your life. Verse 30. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Naturally, they went and told everyone. It's the way it's supposed to be. Come on, this is a time when God says, I'm activating my church for such a time as this, and I'm calling my kingdom to come forward, says the Lord. The more intimacy you have with the Father, the more revelation you will have received from the Father, and with more grace to do the will of the Father. Come on now. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't know about you, but in this chapter of my life, in this season of my life, I want to know Him more than I knew Him yesterday. I want to do more than I done yesterday. I want to understand more than I understood yesterday. I want to break out of this old physical realm, and I want to break in to the spiritual realm. The Bible says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you shall be filled. Come on. It's not just about pain. It's not just about suffering. It's about hungering. It's about thirsting. It's about having a passion. I can hardly wait to sit down at the dinner table. Amen. Woo! Come on. My mama would make the best beans in the world and mashed potatoes until I met my brother Jerome. Come on, give him a hand. Woo, miss those potatoes. Come on. Look at somebody say, it's a new time for us. So God wants to show you personally how to turn around so you can turn your city around. We can turn Elkhart around, or we can turn the geographical area that you're from. We can begin to turn it around. God is going to do it with you, but He is not going to do it without you. Come on. Acts 3:18 through 21. The heavens must retain Him until the restitution of all things spoken through the mouths of His prophets from the beginning of time. God is God. God can do whatever He wants. But the Bible also says that He honors His word above His name. Come on now. And He said that He is not going to return until, amen, every prophetic word has come to fulfillment. Listen, church, we're on a timeline. There is still some time. Come on now. Amen. For the church to begin to break out and begin to be redeemers of the lost and the hurting. Come on now. And to begin to bring transformation in your city, in your business, in your home, in your family. Look at somebody and say, it's not too late. Come on, we must arise starting this next season here at the river. Amen. Of cooperating with Christ. Acts 20:28, Jesus purchased His church. Look at somebody say, He's talking about you. Come on, He purchased His church, the ecclesia, with His very own life's blood. Come on, a powerful price was paid for each one of you. And the devil may want you to feel like a sideliner. He may want you to feel like a nobody. But God said, you are somebody in my kingdom. You are members individually in the body of Christ. And you have received me as your Savior. And when you received me, you received an empowerment of all that I am. And you have now become heirs and joint heirs with me. Come on now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Come on, church, we must upscale our mindset and don't let the devil talk you out of your inheritance. Yes, there are hard times. Yes, there are challenging times. Yes, there are valleys that we walk through. Yes, there are mountains that are hard to climb. But God promised you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even though you walk through the valley of hardship, I'll be right there with you. Look at somebody say, God is with me. I think we're in a time of repositioning ourselves as the church, as the body of Christ. Amen. And standing in our inheritance as the ecclesia. Amen. As the church. Wow. John 19 and 30. The powerful words of Jesus on Calvary. And he said, it is finished. Say it's finished. You know, the Holy Spirit reminds me of this continually. Brother Gabe, you know, quit looking at your past. Quit looking at what you walked through. Quit looking at the man that you were 45, 50 years ago. I mean, if you know, the devil can go way back in a lot of years in your life. And God said, quit looking back at your past and begin to look at your future. Begin to look at the promise. Keep your eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I'm bringing you out to bring you into the fullness of all that I've called you and purposed you to be. I love the words of Bishop Hammond. Don't think about retiring. Think about refiring. Come on. God, ignite a fresh fire in me. God, cause the life of the Spirit to begin to bubble up in me. Oh, God, cause me to walk away from my old nature and into the nature of Christ and Him crucified. So Jesus has done all that He is going to do alone. All that He is going to do both now and through eternity will be in, through, and with His bride, the ecclesia, His church. From now on, it is you and God together. Penny, it's you and God together. You're not doing this work of the ministry that God called you to by yourself. God is doing it with you. But you say, God, there's so much suffering. But God said, I want you to look at the victory because you're an overcomer and you're not going to live the future like you lived in your past. It is a new day. Old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. You know, I understand the challenge of that scripture as all of you do. Because when you walk out these doors of this sanctuary today, it's the same car. Possibly you're driving on a donut spare tire. You may still have the same McDonald's French fry cup over the seat. Come on. You may still have the still broken lock on your door at home. All those things may look the same. But what is different is you. Say me. God has changed you. God has transformed you. Come on. God has transformed the river. God has brought a change and a transformation here. And He said, I want you to grab hold of the new you. Of the new thing that you can do. Of the new future and place that I've called you into. Say, God has called me. So Jesus has done all He's going to do alone. Everything that He does from this time forward until the consummation of the ages and the clouds of heaven begin to split and Jesus returns and all of those that have gone before are riding with Him. Come on now. And we see the host of heaven, amen, coming back, amen, to set up God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven forever and ever and ever. Come on, that we will rule and will reign with Him. Amen. But today, God said, you're going to have to press in the battle. You're going to have to stay the course. You're going to have to stay in the race and you're going to have to face some things, but know that greater is Christ that is in you than he that is in everything that tries to set itself against you. I heard the Lord say this prophetically, and I want to read this to you. God says, you will be seen as a church with a dream. Say a dream. So many people have lost their dream. Come on, get your dream back. Come on, my dream is not Social Security. My dream is not what I can retire into. My dream is not how I can survive. My dream is about the kingdom of God. Come on, the more you give God place in your life, the more you begin to dream about the purposes that God created you for. The Lord said it is a new beginning for a new release of a double portion or a double grace. Come on, we've been here 25 years. This is our 25th anniversary. Amen. There is a grace of God that has brought us thus far. But He said now it's time for a double portion, a double release, a double grace, a double manifestation, a double provision, a double vision. Come on now, a double dream. Amen. To bring you to a place like Peter of old where you decree, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God, you done it then and you can do it now. Whew, I like that. Say, He'll do it again. Come on, say it loud. Say it again. Come on, He'll do it again. He'll do it bigger. He'll do it better. Way beyond our little mind is able to think. Who the Lord said is an individual and a corporate release of heaven to fulfill your dream. And the corporate Bible-believing, Christ-centered, activating, and spiritually alive churches to begin to double in size. Double in blessing, double in favor, double in power, double in influence, double in revelation, double in warfare strategy, double in resources, double in finances, and more. There's time for double. In all of our expansion, if I heard the Lord correctly in my spirit, is for the further implementation of God's third and final apostolic reformation. God wants to release a manifold blessing upon you. Say upon me. So God wants to release a manifold blessing upon the river right here, right now. I might say, Dr. Janet, that this is the time. I believe that, you know, God would say, get the new copy of Bishop Hammond's book on the third and final reformation. Come on. I believe there's revelation in that was written 10 years ago that God said, now is the time for relevancy. Now is the time for fulfillment. Now is the time for application. And God said, begin to move the church forward with a bigger dream and with a bigger vision. 2 Kings 2:9, and Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha spoke and he said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Everybody say a double portion. You know, sometimes we don't know if we have the audacity to ask the Father for such a thing. Come on, God, just bless my daily need. Give me my daily bread. I believe it was Brother Jay that was encouraging us. Come on now, to step out, believe God for more. There's more that God wants to do for you. There's more that God wants to fulfill for you. Don't let your past keep you in obedience to your past. Come on now, it's a breakout season. It's a breakout time. And God said, break out of the old, break into the new, because behold, I'll do a new thing for you, says the Lord. Whew. Wow. If the church advances, listen to me, in all that it knows in the next 10 years, there will be a double anointing with a double extension into the next 20 years for the Joshua and coming generation, our children, the babies that you're holding in your arms, come on now, and the coming generations that are now coming. We will possess, but the Joshua generation will build with a new momentum like David and Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. David built a platform for Solomon to build from, a man that would allow Solomon to build double what David built. Say double. I have 3 beautiful daughters and 13 grandchildren, and wow, in just a couple of months, be 10 great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen, I want to see my grandchildren. And I'm holding these great-grandbabies in my arms and praying over them. And the parents are asking me just to hold them and pray for them. And But to see the transformation and to see the change, amen, that God is going to do. I want to be obedient where I'm at so that my children and my children's children will make the impact, amen, that will fulfill a dream and a vision. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a moment. Just go ahead and pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit for just a moment, can you? Go ahead, pray. Ruma, God, I want to be more bold today. I want to be louder today. Than what is that song we've been singing? God, we want to make it louder. We want to clap louder. I want to dance harder. I want to run faster. Amen. God, I want to do more today than I did yesterday. I want that multiplied grace upon the river of life. God, I am so proud of this church, so proud of the apostles and pastors, oh God, so proud of the leaders, so proud of the saints. So they work so hard, oh God. But Father, the better is yet to come. The better is yet in front of them, the race that they have yet to run. Father, I just ask for your anointing and your favor to touch each heart in this sanctuary this morning. Lord, as I've been laboring just to minister out of my spirit, I know, Father, there's pain. There's physical pain. There's emotional pain. There's spiritual pain. There's financial struggle. Lord, there are all types of things represented here this morning. But God, you said you are the healer of all of our diseases, all our infirmities, all of our pain. And Father, you took it all to Calvary. I'm going to ask you if you'll just raise your hands to the Lord. Raise them unto God. And Father, I'm asking you for you to touch each one this morning. God, you're preparing them for this new chapter, this new season, this new race that you have called them to. Lord, you will grace them with your favor. And I hear the Lord say that I want you to begin to expect a miracle, because I've had a miracle in the making for you. The Lord said, I want you to be bold in your spirit, and I want you to decree a thing and believe it in your heart. And God said, no, without a shadow of a doubt, that I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you could ask or ascertain. The Lord said, this is a new time of kingdom release. And God said, yes, you'll build my church. But God said, I promised you that if you build my kingdom, if you build my church, I will build your house. And God said, you're going to see revival in your homes. You're going to see redemption of children. You're going to see the return of prodigals. You're going to see things that were turned upside down, turned right side up, says the Lord. God said, roll up your sleeves and get ready for the journey. Get ready. God said, for the open windows of heaven, because I'm going to pour out of my blessing upon the earth, says the Lord. And this will be a time of harvesting of souls. It'll be a time of building of my church. And God said, I've called this church to be wise master builders of my kingdom, says the Lord. Father, I just ask you to bless each one. Lord, if there's any online with us this morning, or anybody that has not totally made it right with you and accepted you as their Savior, God, I pray that their heart is open to you this morning, and that they hear the words of the Holy Spirit, and God, that they will find that place of intimacy with you and that trust in you, to where they'll receive revelation like Peter. You are the Christ. I know you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, we have a passion. We have a desire to enter into that place of relationship with you. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. Father God, thank you for all that you have done. We're here today not just to ask you what you can do for us, but what can we do for you? Father, we want to give our whole self to you. And I decree that this beginning of a new season, that I desire to do a new thing. I desire to see your glory. I desire to walk in your favor. I desire to give back in this next 25 years. Not just to be a receiver, but to be a giver. You said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want to give of my salvation. I want to give of my testimony. I want to give of my gifts. My natural gifts. My spiritual gifts. All that I am. I surrender to you. And I say, here am I, God. Use me for such a time as this. In Jesus' name. King. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you are the church. God has called you. For such a time as this.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen.